have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hoff.
I'm Ann Northrup.
Happy Bastille Day. Liberté, fraternité, sororité, égalité, and non-binarité. It is also International Non-Binary Day.
It is, and it's also a day to celebrate the federal judge in Tennessee who has blocked implementation of one of the new anti-LGBTQ laws that have been passed there.
Judge really let them have it. New York City looks as if it will have at least six out LGBTQ city council members, and they're quite a crew.
Majority people of color. Parents in Tampa are suing a Catholic school for not being anti-LGBTQ enough.
It's almost my favorite story of the week. But not favorite. Very sad to hear about the passing of lesbian photographer Trix Rosen, who died at the age of 74.
Boston Pride, the mainstream Pride, it has announced that it is going out of business after 50 years. We'll talk about what may take its place.
The Olympics in Tokyo will see double the number of out athletes from the last Summer Olympics.
I think they're going to outnumber the spectators. Arrests have been made in the killing of a gay nursing assistant in Spain that shocked the nation.
A lot of developments in that story. Hungarian activists and the European Union have struck back at the new anti-LGBTQ laws there and other repressive measures in Hungary.
One of the many journalists attacked by a fascist mob who were protesting an LGBTQ demonstration in Tbilisi, Georgia, has died of his injuries.
Teen dramas on Netflix and HBO Max feature LGBTQ characters prominently.
And we're going to end the show with showing you the LGBTQ presence in the New York City ticker tape parade for essential workers in the COVID pandemic.
So, where do we start? Start with some national news, perhaps?
Go right ahead.
Well, you know, 30 members of Congress are calling for an end to the detention of trans migrants and for ICE to share data on trans and HIV detainees. They said the 2015 guidelines required better treatment, and that's failed. And ICE is no longer detaining pregnant women, nursing, and postpartum women, but they're not up to date on transgender.
I must say, I would like the Biden administration to move more quickly on this and a lot of other things.
Yeah.
But with any luck, they will not be moving on the request in a letter from 20 Republican state attorneys general who wrote to the Biden administration to complain that Biden is being too nice to trans people in particular, LGBTQ people in general. The state attorneys general, all right-wing Republicans, say that the administration is interpreting the Supreme Court's Bostock decision too broadly. That it was only meant to cover employment, and even that should be more limited and should not be covering trans people's use of bathrooms or locker rooms or insistence on correct pronouns. And they complain that their religious freedom is being violated and that trans athletes should be kept out of participating in sports in their lived gender. This is all just bluster and hogwash from these people.
Well, speaking of which, the Sixth Circuit denied on bank review to the three-judge ruling that a bigoted professor had a First Amendment right to misgender trans students in class, and that the university has no compelling interest in defending the mental health of trans students, which is essentially what they're saying. The university could appeal to the Supreme Court. That case is Meriwether versus Hartop. Art Leonard gave me this information.
So the three-judge appeals court said it's the university cannot punish the professor for misgendering the student.
Right. It's his First Amendment right to misgender students.
Well, with any luck, students will no longer go sign up for his class, which I guess is the only remedy they have at this point.
And then the Seventh Circuit, a 10-judge panel, 7-3, ruled that churches, now this is really horrendous, have total immunity from hostile environment claims by ministerial employers, made by ministerial employees. You remember Sandor Demkovic, a gay former music director of a parish in Calumet City, Illinois, sued under the Americans for Disabilities Act. They went after him not just because he was gay, because he was overweight. And the court is basically saying that you have no standing here. You can't sue. They can do whatever they want to you. And this is ridiculous because, you know, I mean, you can take them up on sexual harassment claims and things like that, but maybe not in the future.
Maybe not. And where do we draw the line? Can one minister murder another in a church? And is that outside the bounds of secular law?
Well, they're saying the criminal law can still be invoked. So, but, you know, what about all these other laws that are supposed to protect people and their jobs?
Exactly. We're turning into a very, as they say, bifurcated country with one set of laws for some people and another for others.
Well, this is out of Illinois now. That circuit has become very Republican under, of course, Trump.
So has much of the country. Yeah, and, you know, just to insert a random thought, I keep hearing these interviews with people who say, you know, how can the Biden says to the Republicans, shame on you. And other people say, how can the Republicans live with themselves stealing these Supreme Court seats or whatever? Well, what do you think power is for? Do you expect them not to use the power they have?
Right.
Democrats are the ones not using the power they have. And it's
correct.
Shame. They're the ones who we should be saying, shame on you, too.
And Biden, you know, didn't weigh in on the whole filibuster question. If we don't change the filibuster and get rid of it, we're not going to pass any major legislation other than this reconciliation kind of stuff. So,
and then why should we vote for the Democrats? They're not accomplishing anything.
Well, they don't stick together. I mean, you know, this is how Newt Gingrich rose to power. He said in the early years of the Clinton administration, if you elect us, we're going to do these 15 things. And he did them in the House. They were awful things, mostly, but he did them. And Democrats don't form a platform and are able to do that.
Well, we are left with occasional good court decisions, and we got one in Tennessee this last week, a federal court granted an injunction requested by the ACLU against the implementation of a new law that the Tennessee legislature passed and the governor signed that mandated that businesses that are friendly to trans customers in their bathroom policies have to post a sign saying so, warning other customers that this establishment is it doesn't discriminate.
So the business owners are saying, hey, what about our First Amendment rights? We're trying to run a welcoming business. And the judge said, if you have to post these signs, it wouldn't sound very welcoming, would it?
Yeah, so the ACLU was representing the business owners who don't want to post these signs, and so far so good in delaying this. The whole thing is the subject of court review, and that's an ongoing case that hasn't been decided yet. But meanwhile, while it's being debated and decided, the businesses do not have to post these signs.
Less good news from Texas, where that special session that was called mainly to crush voting rights is also being used to stigmatize and oppress trans people The Senate committee there is getting on board with banning trans girls from girls' sports and another in high schools and colleges, although it's sort of two separate bills. They also have this new, this has gone into effect in Texas, a new citizen-enforced anti-abortion law. It lets individuals anywhere in the country, if you know about somebody who aided an abortion after 6 weeks, turn them in, get $10,000. That's the bounty.
Well, that's being challenged now in court, too. And does this mean Caitlyn Jenner, when she went to the CPAC conference in Dallas, couldn't use a bathroom or what? She was booed off the stage by the right-wing Republicans and called Bruce by the audience.
Wow. All right. And let's see. And well, let's go to New York. Hey, where, you know, where we live, we had an election. You may want to know what we think about Eric Adams, who looks like he's going to be the next mayor. We're not quite sure. We'll try to find out. You know, he wasn't a first choice for a lot of the LGBTQ groups. But anyway, six out LGBTQ council members won Democratic nominations in New York City. I'm going to put the picture up here. On the top there, from left to right, that's Crystal Hudson in Brooklyn. Our own Eric Botcher in Manhattan here in Chelsea, who just got an ear piercing, by the way.
Wow, is he sucking up to Eric Adams already?
I don't know. And then on the right there on the top is Kristen Richardson Jordan in Harlem, who narrowly defeated Bill Perkins. Now, these are all out LGBTQ people.
Well, Crystal and Kirsten will be the first black lesbians on the city council.
Right. Kristen beat Bill Perkins, who's an old friend of ours and certainly very pro. But look, time marches on. On the bottom there, now say this name for me.
Chai Osei.
23 years old. He's the youngest, I believe, member of the city council ever.
He's not a member yet. All these people have won their primaries. They still have to be elected in November.
They're going to win.
Yeah,
the first out LGBTQ black man elected in Brooklyn. And then in the center there is out lesbian Liz Shulman in Queens. She has been running for this seat for about 20 years, and she won. And then on the right there is Tiffany Caban from Queens. She narrowly lost a countywide race for district attorney, but she's a very progressive. She's a socialist. So there are two trans and non-binary candidates who lost. Our own state senator Brad Hoylman came in second in the race for Manhattan Borough President to Mark Levine. But all these people who they lost to are pro-LGBTQ.
Cory Johnson lost his attempt to be nominated as city controller to Brad Lander. So some wins and some losses, but really a stunning lineup of potential new city council members.
And the city council will be majority women.
Majority women, majority people of color. And we were afraid because all the previous LGBTQ city council members were term limited out or had left the council this year. So there was some concern about what was going to happen in the new council. And this is definitely a great result.
Okay. Should we go to Boston?
Sure.
They're shutting down their Pride March after 50 years, amid calls for change from community members accusing Boston Pride of excluding people of color and trans people. The march was to take place in October. In their statement, they said, "It is clear that our community needs and wants change without the involvement of Boston Pride. We have heard the concerns of the QTPIBIPOC community and others, and we care too much to stand in the way." So they'd lost 80% of their volunteers, the executive director resigned, the group was dissolving. So groups like Trans Resistance, the Dyke March, and Boston Black Pride say they will work to reshape Pride. in Boston?
The mainstream Boston Pride March was canceled last year because of COVID, postponed this year. I'm not sure whether it's going to take place in October or whenever it's supposedly scheduled. But Trans Resistance Massachusetts did hold a major march this year that was a big success. And this is the trend of these new people-centered marches, political marches, overwhelming what has become the more corporate march. It's happening in New York. It's happening in London. It happened in San Diego. We'll get to that in a second. San Francisco, L.A., Chicago. All of these new marches are cropping up.
I mean, we've had these celebrations, and look, you know, we're an oppressed community. We like the idea of celebrating, but a lot of younger people, especially, but also a lot of older people, veterans, are saying, hey, we've got a long way to go. We've got a lot to protest. This is why we're marching. It's not just a party.
Yes. I mean, all you have to do is look at those laws in Texas or Tennessee or proposed all over the country, or the Stalled Equality Act, or violence and killings of Black trans women, or the list goes on. So to be out in the street with confetti and glitter and bar floats seems a little beside the point and a little tone deaf. And people really have an appetite, thank heavens, for political action. So that is what's happening. And as someone who's been involved with that here in New York, I couldn't be happier about that. I hope that the people who have been involved in Boston Pride and these others, the mainstream ones, get involved in the more political ones and stay involved. I think there was a comment by someone from one of the Boston Dyke March or other groups that said, you know, they're leaving the field. They should stick around and reform and try to do it differently. And I think that's what we all want. We're not trying to drive people away. We're trying to expand this and keep it as a politically motivated thing and stop focusing on corporations that are still, in spite of Toyota's change of mind, giving money to right-wing politicians who are the ones passing these laws to discriminate against us and hurt us. We have to stop that. We have to stand up for ourselves and show a little more self-respect.
Well, they're standing up for themselves in the U.S. Virgin Islands, aren't they?
Yes. They held their first ever Pride Parade there, and they promised that they're going to use this to begin to organize advocacy around these kinds of issues in the U.S. Virgin Islands, which has been slow to appreciate its LGBTQ community. So I love seeing these pictures of small groups of people in places all over the world who have taken it upon themselves to stand up for themselves. You see the variety of images there, the progress flag with the trans and black and brown stripes on it, and other flags that represent various parts of the communities.
That one on the right, it looks like it's got the American Field of Stars and then rainbow stripes. I hadn't seen that one before.
Oh, I have.
You're the co-host of Gay USA, but the main banner says "Love always wins." I don't know about that, but let's try.
Well, I would say long term, but we have a lot of work to do to get there. Also, in San Diego, where the regular parade was canceled last year and this year, they held something called the Pride Resilient Community March, which, again, was a no floats, no cops kind of people's march, just people marching in the streets, and gathered a lot more people than they had expected. They marched instead. In recent years, the main march has marched away from Hillcrest, the traditional LGBTQ community. This year, they brought this march into Hillcrest in hopes also of helping local businesses in that community, and that evidently was successful.
And you can Google this, but they're having events right through Sunday of all kinds of Pride events.
Yeah,
in San Diego. Yeah. In
And is it also a pride parade that Richard Branson took a rainbow flag on his...
I wasn't going to mention this, but go ahead.
I figured you weren't. Look, I don't approve of billionaires.
Now here's what he did. Somebody from the... what was it, the Trevor Project? No, no.
Someone who had... who was
Orlando.
Yeah, someone who was associated with the
Pulse.
Victims at the Pulse massacre asked him to take this pride flag and rainbow flag, and he took it on his flight with him.
He did, but he didn't wear it on the Today Show today.
He did not.
But
somehow word got out, so now we all know.
Well, lots of pride at the Olympics. The United States alone will have 30 out athletes representing Team USA in Tokyo, including Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi. But 131 so far worldwide. That's twice as many as at the Rio Games in 2016.
Mostly women, of course, because they're the ones who are out.
Yeah, Sue.
When you add up the soccer players and the basketball players and a few others, you get teams full of lesbians who will be in Tokyo. But I just hope they all stay safe because things are pretty scary over there with the resurgence of the virus, very little vaccination in the general population, and now they're keeping spectators out of the stadiums.
You know, London is opening up, but they are going to have also a Reclaim Pride March on July 24th. But again, you know, they're opening up on the 19th of July, but things are spiking over there.
Let's just say I'm not going over for a golf trip to Scotland.
Going over for a theater trip, as much as I'd like to be there.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, back to the United States, my favorite story of the week. There's a Catholic school in Tampa, Florida, the Academy of Holy Names. It's being sued by two parents for teaching students about gender identity, human sexuality, pregnancy termination, and other hot-button issues, I'm quoting. They want a refund of tuition and the donations they made, which total about $1 million. Two of their kids attended for 6 years. They complain about a posting on how to be a good ally to LGBTQ individuals. Isn't the Pope for that? Their filing includes complaints from other parents saying the school isn't homophobic and transphobic enough. They also complained about the school addressing racism in the murders of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. It sounds as if their religions are money and Fox News, basically. They want the school, stop saying you're Catholic, you're not.
Are they against the death penalty?
I doubt it.
Are they against poverty?
It's run by the Sisters of the Holy Names of Jesus and Mary, so...
All right. Well, that's depressing. So I'll insert a little.
Hold it, folks. You can't sue the church. They've got ministerial exceptions.
Well, the AME Church, the African Methodist
Episcopal.
Thank you. Church is putting together a committee to study LGBTQ issues, and this is evidently the first major black church that is doing this in such an official capacity. So we'll keep an eye on what they come up with and what decisions they make.
Going back to lawsuits in Chicago, four LGBTQ soccer fans are suing Soldier Field after being subjected to an onslaught of anti-gay slurs at a 2019 championship match between the U.S. and Mexico. They had urged the stadium to adopt the FIFA procedure for dealing with...
FIFA.
All right, let's call the whole thing off. Procedure for dealing with discriminatory incidents. Mexican fans relentless in shouting anti-gay slurs. The men themselves were wearing rainbow U.S. team national team jerseys.
It's an ongoing problem. And then they're going to Qatar, or however you want to pronounce that, for the World Cup next year, and that's going to be a real hard...
We're all going to Hong Kong for the gay games? Come on.
Maybe we should go to Alaska, where labor leaders have announced that they are joining the Pro-Equality Act, Labor for Equality Council. That's a nice little announcement.
Should we do some of our obituaries?
Yes. Trix Rosen, 74 years old. She, a legend in New York and beyond, photographer. East Village, mostly.
All over the world. She did a lot, spent a lot of time in Asia. She was a visionary photographer on social justice, LGBTQ, women's issues. She explored gender fluidity in works such as, and we have a picture, Faust's Study. She did a lot of this kind of gender-bending stuff. You can read more about her at Trix, T-R-I-X, Rosen, R-O-S-E-N, .com. She shot with women bodybuilders, women at the birth of Gay Lib. She taught visual storytelling skills, and she was much beloved.
She was also a documenter of architectural preservation. That was a specialty of hers, and she was well known for doing that. And one of the highlights of her career was when she was included in a show at the Museum of Modern Art and finally got some real mainstream recognition for her work. But she was absolutely beloved and famous for her work throughout our communities. She was known as also an activist herself and a nurturer of everyone around her. And she died of Parkinson's disease at age 74. Absolutely beloved.
And then in London, a guy who contributed so much to Broadway and London theater, Paul Huntley, 88 years old, again, a truly beloved, in this case, hairstylist and wig designer. There he is with Glenn Close doing her hair and wigs. A 60-year career. He was working on Diana the Musical at his death. He worked on more than 200 shows with all the greatest stars, from Carol Channing to Alan Cumming.
He did Elizabeth Taylor's hair for the movie Cleopatra.
And he did 60 other films. But, you know, in a single show, he might have to design 40 to 60 wigs.
And he was known as the best. And stars would have written into their contracts that they had to have him as their hairstylist or wig maker. Movies and Broadway. He was given Broadway, the Tony Awards do not give hairstyling awards, but they gave him a special Tony in 2003 for his work.
William Ivy Long, the designer, called him the best hair designer on the planet, hands down. He lived with his life partner for 21 years, Paul Plassen, P-L-A-S-S-A-N. Plassen died in 1991.
And Paul made a free wig for cancer patients every month. Wow. He donated his services to them. And one of them asked him, what do I owe you? What can I pay you? And he said, no, this is something I do as a gift to people who need these wigs. And she had a plaque done for him for a bench for Riverside Park, which I thought was just lovely.
Great. Okay, moving on. I read this week, and we've talked about this a little bit, about the religious right. White evangelical identification has gone from 23% in 2006 to 14.5% last year. Every year since,
That's a celebration.
Well, every year since 2013, the largest religious group was unaffiliated. But the problem is that things like QAnon are taking the place of religion in the lives of many Americans.
That's true. Did you see the video of the QAnon guy at the Capitol insurrection on video saying, "Here I am at the White House. I want you all to see me here at the White House." And he's so crazy. The judge said, well, clearly he's out of his mind. So we're releasing him from prison and putting him under house arrest.
But the problem is that people are out of their minds. There was a Texas legislator, one of the Democrats who, you know, fled so they don't have to vote on this voter suppression bill. And he's on one of the conservative networks. And the legislator turns to the guy and says, can you just say whether Trump lost the election? And the guy says, I'm here to ask the questions. He said, no, answer my question. Can you just say it? And they can't.
No, they can't. All right. The Atlanta Falcons, the Atlanta football team, have released Barkevious Mingo as a player for them. He's been arrested for being accused of a 2019 assault of a teen boy in a hotel room.
Sexual
assault. He denies it, but the Falcons have let him go, and he's being prosecuted.
He played on about seven teams in the NFL. A sad story in Kansas City. D'Angelo Wallace, 28 years old, was gunned down last week in front of a police station by an unidentified perpetrator, not a police officer that we know about. His family says he was targeted for being gay. Now, Wallace had an earlier brush with infamy. He was singing off key on the X Factor show, only to have the judges, including Britney Spears, walk off the set in 2012. And he's lived in and out of homeless shelters since, and he was apparently harassed by other homeless people for being gay.
And threatened.
Yeah.
And now he's been shot dead. A very sad story of his life.
How about that bar in Cheyenne, Wyoming, the Eagle's Nest?
I wasn't going to do that story.
Well, they were selling vile anti-gay T-shirts calling for the shooting of gay people to cure AIDS. Even the Wyoming governor, a right-winger named Mark Gordon, said this rhetoric does not reflect the state's values. Really? But this thing has sort of prompted them to look at least at hate crimes legislation again, which they've been doing since Matthew Shepard was killed in Cheyenne 22 years ago. But even though this would not be covered by hate crimes laws, I mean,
the bar owner is not apologetic about selling the T-shirt.
Nope.
All right, can we move to international news?
Well, I do want to celebrate the fact that California budgeted $3 million to develop LGBTQ cultural competency in the schools. New York did it with $2 million. I don't know what you think. There are out legislators in New York who want Chick-fil-A barred from the rest areas as a concession.
Well, my question is, are they going to be open on Sundays, and do the legislators care about that?
Right. They always close on Sundays in their stores?
Yes.
Well, they just let an Orthodox Jew into Major League Baseball, and he's not going to be able to play on Saturdays.
Well, Sandy Koufax didn't want to do
one
that.
One game, Yom Kippur. Not every Saturday.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, in Spain, they have now arrested four people for the murder of Samuel Luis, the 24-year-old man who was brutally beaten to death. He'd gone outside of a club to take a phone call. He was on a video call, and a couple of guys said, well, are you filming us? And he said, no, I'm on a video call. And
They punched him, and then the guy came back with 12 people to beat him to death. He was only aided by one person, a Senegalese citizen, Ibrahima Shakur, a hero who tried to help him, but unsuccessfully. Now, the other thing we've learned was that he was sort of out to his family, but they're very uncomfortable with him becoming a gay symbol. He was a leader at his evangelical church. And he was a volunteer with the Red Cross, and he was working to become a dental technician.
A big loss and a terrible story. In Hungary, the no promo homo law has gone into effect, and LGBT people there are vowing resistance. Their first act is flying this rainbow heart balloon outside the parliament. But the European Union is taking a little more concrete action, holding up stimulus payments to Hungary, trying to force them to not proceed with this law. I'm not sure.
They've gone even further. They they're holding up like billions of dollars in,
yeah,
in
stimulus payments.
Right. Billions of dollars. And they find they got a 100,000 euro fine for doing this already.
But things are getting really ugly in Tbilisi, Georgia. We told you about how the LGBT community had planned a pride parade, which they then canceled after right-wing thugs broke into their offices and trashed everything. But then the LGBTQ people, by the thousands, went out into the streets anyway the next day and held an event. They were attacked by this mob, and dozens of journalists were attacked.
50 journalists attacked, and the primary attackers from the right wing were Orthodox priests.
Aided by the government, by the way. And now one of the journalists who was attacked, a TV cameraman, Alexander Lashkarava, has died. He was 37 years old. And the cops came into where he was, his home where his corpse was, and grabbed the corpse and took it away. The family had been hoping to do a private autopsy, but the cops just ran off with his corpse.
Well, the president of the country, visited the guy's family and called for an investigation and prosecution. But the big thing is he failed to protect the march. And, we have the report from the gay leader there. We have a picture of him, Georgi Tabagari. He said he faced three incidents during the protests where he could have died. He called the violence a complete failure of the state. But he says he feels they are now winning the information war over this. One of the people cheering from the sidelines while this was all going on, Brian Brown of the National Organization for Marriage, who is now the president of the World Council of Families, a worldwide right-wing group.
I think it's the World Congress of Families.
Right. Sorry.
Whatever.
WCF.
Yeah, the U.S. State Department says they're following developments in Georgia, but so far they haven't done anything that means anything. But Brian Brown has his hand in every anti-LGBTQ act of violence around the world. He has been fomenting this violence against us. He tried for years here in the United States. He eventually lost because we legalized same-sex marriage. And then he moved worldwide, and he is everywhere. And this is absolutely part of his worldwide scheme to wipe us out.
Absolutely. Well, we don't always get good news from Pakistan, but they...
I just have one other note here in Georgia. There are ongoing demonstrations, and people are fighting each other in parliament. There are fistfights in parliament going on over this. And, of course, the prime minister blames us.
And speaking of Eastern Europe, Russia was ordered by the European Court of Human Rights to register same-sex marriages. We'll see how that goes.
The European Court of Human Rights also ruled that the Russian government had discriminated against a trans woman by refusing to let her see her kids. So we'll see whether Russia abides by that ruling of the Court of Human Rights.
But the good news from Pakistan is that they opened a government-run school for trans students in the city of Multan. The education minister promises more, and he hopes it will help with job opportunities. We need to be doing this here.
But just across the border in Afghanistan, as U.S. troops leave, the Taliban has promised that they will reinstitute Sharia law and execute adult homosexuals.
They're going to crush people.
With a wall.
Literally.
Or by stoning.
Literally.
Yes.
All right. Fascinating story out of the Vatican. A long story about a senior altar boy, Gabriele Martinelli. We have a picture of him at the Pope's first mass. That's Martinelli as an altar boy on the right. in 2013. But he was credibly accused of sexually abusing younger boys over whom he had authority, yet he kept being moved up and was ordained. And the cardinal and the bishops dismissed the accusations as a calumny, excusing it because he was young himself.
He was 20. He was 20.
Well, he started when he was 14 going after a 13-year-old.
Well, that's true.
But they kept saying, oh, this is just cliques. This is transitory homosexuality. No big deal. We all do it, after all, in the Vatican. You know, so... But there's a trial going on in the Vatican, which seems to be taking a long time. He's been taken out of service as a priest. Wow.
Charming story out of Brazil, where a guy who's a lawyer and a country club president has been carrying on a fit of rage against his ex-wife. They were divorced about 4 years ago. He hired a hitman to kill her. The hitman, there's video of this because it happened outside her home where there was a security camera. Guy pulls up on a motorcycle, shoots her 14 times through the window of her car, and she is dead.
She and her partner were planning to move.
She became a lesbian. She had a girlfriend, and this just enraged the ex-husband.
And she and the lesbian partner, Luana Mello, were planning to move to Greece because of all the threats in Brazil.
Yeah.
It's awful.
In the UK, the Foreign Office in London has apologized for banning LGBT employees from the Foreign Office in 1967. They lifted the ban in 1991, but they are now, 30 years later, just apologizing and praising their LGBT employees.
In Israel, the Supreme Court cleared the way for same-sex couples to have children through surrogate mothers. They had ordered the parliament to fix this situation over a year ago, but the parliament wouldn't, so now the court is ordering it, and it's supposed to take effect in 6 months.
In Melbourne, Australia, they have opened, I was astonished at this, the first community center, LGBTQ community center in the country, the Victoria Pride Center. It's going to be home to many groups and organizations, and it was helped with $25 million from the Australian government.
Okay. And back to Russia, the EU Court of Human Rights ruled that Russia violated the rights of a trans woman who authorities...
We said that a few minutes ago.
Did we? Okay. I thought we were just talking about the other situation.
And then I added that on.
There we are, because I was looking for the next story. And that's what happens on this show.
That's what happens when we make it up as we go along. We don't make it up, but we don't have a script.
Everything is true.
In the Ukraine, a pop star, Melovin, came out at the end of a concert. He came out as bisexual by kissing a woman there on the left and a man there on the right. I must say, I think he's showing a little more enthusiasm in kissing the man. But the TV broadcast cut out before the kiss. So the picture exists, but it was not broadcast at the time in Ukraine.
Speaking of cutting out in China, did we do this story?
They're no.
Cracking down on LGBTQ groups and content. WeChat wiped out almost all public LGBTQ accounts run by Chinese university students. The U.S. State Department is concerned.
Actually, we did do that 2 weeks ago.
Okay. popped up on my feed. Then let's go to...
South Africa.
Yeah. The first trans contestant for the Miss South Africa title, Lelo Gonolo Machaba, 24, who says she will be an advocate for the LGBT community on her platform. I believe that being chosen would raise hope in a lot of little girls like myself. She works in the fashion industry and volunteers at the local LGBTQ center to help young people with university and job applications. If she wins, she hopes to meet Laverne Cox.
Yes. AIDS news.
Sorry? Yeah. The
U.S. House of Representatives House Appropriations Committee has approved funding for the Health and Human Services Department of $69.5 million for syringe exchange.
Well, this is up from $56.5 million. That's a huge...
No, that's $56.5 million
increase.
Increase.
Yeah. It also ends the ban on the use of HHS funding for syringes.
We'll see whether this makes it all the way through the Congress.
Well, but it's a $3.5 trillion budget also does a lot of things in health, including expanding Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah.
And Chuck Schumer is proposing removing marijuana from the Controlled Substances Act. This is in a bill. He calls for expunging nonviolent marijuana-related arrests and convictions from the federal record and earmarks money for restorative justice. Biden has yet to endorse the bill.
All right. Entertainment news?
Yeah. I wasn't aware of this series called Young Royals on Netflix. It's now starting season two, where a young Swedish prince gets, you can guess which one is the prince, and gets to a boarding school where he encounters an out gay student and romance blossoms. That's Edvin Rydina and Omar Rudberg. It's in Swedish, but it's they're praising this thing for being sort of more real about, you know, not everybody has washboard abs and, you know, et cetera. It's just, it's more real, even though it's about a royal.
I saw so many Bergman films when I was a teenager that I thought I could speak Swedish, but...
Moi aussi. I don't know how to say that in Swedish.
No, or anything else.
All right. There are a ton of, Pride Month generated a ton of LGBTQ art shows here and around the world, many of which are running through August, some through September and October. They include one about Rudi Gernreich, the early gay activist from the 1950s at the Phoenix Art Museum. AIDS activist Greg Bordowitz has one called I Want to Be Well, his video art at MoMA PS1. And Martin Gutierrez's Radiant Cut pictures at the Blaffer Art Museum in Houston. So I'm going to include a link to this. This is all over the country, and maybe one is near you.
And Rudi Gernreich, of course, was the inventor of the one-shoulder bathing suit, the breast-bearing topless bathing suit for women.
And the thong.
HBO Max is having a big hit with its reboot of Gossip Girl, which is very, 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 very LGBTQ, evidently.
And can you tell which is the pansexual character and which is the trans actor?
And non-binary characters and...
The trans actress, Zion Moreno, plays a character named Luna and says, I love that the show doesn't stamp our identities on our foreheads and our characters just get to be.
A few other things that I've seen or that are coming up. I finally caught on Stars on Demand the documentary Ahead of the Curve about Curve magazine, formerly Deneuve magazines, the whole history of the glossy lesbian magazine. And it was quite fascinating. It's about the founder, Franco Stevens. So if you have Stars on demand, you can catch Ahead of the Curve. And I also saw a movie that is coming out this week in theaters and on video on demand. Can You Bring It? Bill T. Jones and D-Man in the Waters. And I loved it. I thought it was really good. I might cut 20 minutes out of it. But
he's a great choreographer.
Yeah, and he and Arnie Zane had a dance company, Bill T. Jones and Arnie Zane. Arnie died of AIDS. And so did this guy, Damien, who's the D-Man in the title of the work, D-Man in the Waters, which is one of Bill T. Jones' major works. And this documentary is all about the development of that. And I thought it was really, really well done. And of course, follows on the Ailey documentary about Alvin Ailey, which is similar. And they're both available in theaters and video on demand and this month and next month. And if you have any interest in dance or in these black gay men who were major dance pioneers, I'd recommend them.
And Bill T. Jones is also an activist, you know, who has
absolutely
worked in the movement.
And I was thrilled to see that the L word, Generation Q, is coming back for a season two starting August 6th. Set your DVRs for that.
Did it get any Emmy nominations?
It did not. A lot of other things did.
Well, the big news is that the Pose star, MJ Rodriguez, is the first trans woman to be recognized in a lead acting category.
First trans person of any gender identity to be recognized. And Billy Porter got nominated again, but my favorite, India Moore, from that show did not get nominated. I think she's been robbed.
Well, Pose got nine nominations.
A lot, yeah.
But some of the,
go ahead.
Well, some of the other of LGBTQ interests, Emma Corrin, who has come out as non-binary, was nominated for The Crown. Bowen Yang on Saturday Night Live. Kate McKinnon on Saturday Night Live. Ewan McGregor, not gay that I know of, but he was nominated for playing Halston. Daniel Levy, out gay, for his work on Saturday Night Live. And our friend David France, his documentary, Welcome to Chechnya, nominated for Best Documentary. And, of course, RuPaul's Drag Race as the best reality show once again.
Yeah, Welcome to Chechnya was nominated for Exceptional Merit in Documentary Filmmaking. They're just three nominees, so they have a chance of winning that at the Emmys. Queer Eye got some nominations. Halston, as you said, got some. Top Chef, which has become a half LGBTQ show every season, got nominated. Randy Rainbow got nominated for his YouTube series. Jonathan Groff for Hamilton. Gillian Anderson for The Crown, and then a couple of shows that I weren't particularly gay, but I thought were really good. Queen's Gambit got a lot of nominations, and Alan B. Farrow, which I thought was really compelling.
When are they giving them out?
Shortly. I knew you were going to ask me that, and I didn't write it down. But I think the biggest omission was no nominations for Small Axe.
Oh, yes. That was
one
a terrific series.
Or something. Just a fantastic production of five films that are available on Amazon. And if you have not seen Small Axe, please put it at the top of your priority list. They are magnificent.
It's a experience over decades in London, yes?
Or yes, yes, yes. And really, really stunning. Stunningly well done. Really moving and a must watch as far as I'm concerned. But that's me. Also, coming up on August 3rd, Pray Away on Netflix, which is a new Ryan Murphy documentary about Exodus International and their conversion therapy activities. And that should be quite good.
Well, they're pretty much out of business, aren't they?
They are, but he documents the whole thing. And certainly other conversion therapy operations are still going as we try to slowly get rid of them.
You know, anti-LGBT religions are still free in their churches and synagogues and mosques to try to, you know, go after people and try to change them. There's no law against that. You just can't get third-party reimbursement for it. That's generally...
Well, there are a couple of states where they've tried to outlaw the religious versions, too, as, I think, child abuse. But the majority of laws only deal with secular versions as by supposed professionals.
You know, when we worked for Hetrick Martin Institute, I was also a reporter then, and I wrote something about Cardinal O'Connor being guilty of child abuse for the way he was saying, I would rather close my child care centers than have gays work there. I mean, he went to court over that. And boy, did I get hell from the executive director, not one of the founders, but another one, you know, for using that phrase. But that's what it is. It just hits you so hard when they say, like, we are a threat to children.
Well, it's, you know, it is a, it is poignant when people use direct language to criticize or to define these situations. And it becomes so lazy and common to fall into more vague language. And I'm struck every time I hear people use more explicit, direct language. And I appreciate it so much when people dare to speak the truth.
I think President Biden could have gone further in his impassioned speech about voting rights, because for God's sakes, and this is becoming pretty mainstream, we are up against a fascist movement in this country. It is a fascist movement. It doesn't believe in democracy or, you know, people getting along. It wants to consolidate power in a minority, and that's what it is. And we have to start calling it that, or we're not going to be able to defeat it.
Well, people like Biden always feel caught in the middle. If I'm more explicit, do I alienate too many people? But if they're not real, they're alienating the people who are.
Franklin Roosevelt said about the Republicans at the time, I welcome their hatred.
Well, we're going to end on a lighter note. New York City held a ticker tape parade last week to honor the heroes of the coronavirus pandemic, the hospital workers and everybody else who helped out. And in this parade, they included the lesbian and gay Big Apple Corps band who showed up marching up Broadway. And here they are.